It was in prison, in Amiens, that I first met the man of the mask. A meeting that I am never likely to forget. Here was the way of it. Tony Dewhurst and I were escorting to the French coast and thence to the safety of England, a family of refugees from the terror. Monsieur le Comte and Madame la Comtesse de la Vraise, and their daughters Toinette and Elise. The family drove in a closed carriage. Tony and I rode beside them as a bodyguard. We were approaching Crèvecoeur. It was a night of bright moonlight, and I was nervous at pursuit. So on my orders, Tony dropped back a while to reconnoiter. After some time, I heard the approach of galloping hooves. Now listen, Tony. You're to go on with the carriage. Tell the driver to make all possible haste.
And you?
An extra 5 minutes is all you'll need. Even less, perhaps. I'll stay here and see that you get it. Tony rode over and spoke to the driver. The whip cracked, and the tired carriage horses broke into a ragged gallop. I found a small clump of bushes by the roadside that afforded some cover. I dismounted, looked at the priming of my two pistols, laid out bullets and powder for quick reloading, and waited. 6 or 7 minutes later, I heard the beat of approaching hooves. And then I saw them. An officer and 5 men. I waited till they were within range. Then... The moment of confusion had given me time to reload. I waited, tense and alert. A shadow loomed near me. When I came to, I was lying on my back on a wooden bunk. My head throbbed like a great beating pulse, and it was a moment before I dared open my eyes. When I did at last, it was to find I was in a small cell. I turned my head, and there, seated silently watching me, was a man. A large man in a black domino mask. Where am I?
Amiens.
In jail?
Yes.
Who are you?
Shall we say, your jailer, Sir Percy?
Sir Percy? What nonsense is this?
Your name is Blakeney. You are an Englishman.
I wish you would not keep calling me Sir Percy.
All right, have it your own way. We've plenty of time. I have some food sent to you, and then we'll talk again tomorrow. Adieu, Monsieur Renault.
One question.
Yes?
How long have I been like this?
Unconscious? 36 hours.
Thank you.
You smile, monsieur?
Do I?
You are thinking perhaps a day and a half. Time enough for my friends to have reached the coast and taken ship to England.
I don't know what you mean.
No? Au revoir, monsieur.
He came again, but this time his manner was different. Gone was the quiet suavity. He was brisk, efficient, and I could see entirely without mercy.
You've had a day to think it over. I hope you are going to be sensible.
I regret, monsieur. I do not know of what...
Stop this stupid masquerade. Stop it at once, you hear. I know who you are. I tell you, I know.
I assure you... Listen,
Blakeney. You may fool the French, but you can't fool me. Shall I tell you why? Because I am English myself.
You?
Yes. And furthermore, I've seen you many a time in London, masquerading then as you're masquerading now. Blakeney the fop, Blakeney the dandy, the stupidest oaf in London society. Very clever. Very clever indeed. But not quite clever enough for me. Well... Let's not waste any more words. You know what I want from you.
I haven't the faintest idea.
I want full details of the organization of the League of the Scarlet Pimpernel.
You must be crazy.
I want a list of its members and of its agents both in England and France, and a resume of its activities. I want to know who are its sympathizers and who are its financial supporters.
You have quite a thirst for knowledge, haven't you?
No more than you can satisfy.
Suppose I were to tell you I know nothing of this League of the Scarlet Pimpernel.
I'd know you to be lying.
In that case, you'll just have to accept the fact that I am lying. I've never even heard of the League of the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Have you heard of a cat and nine tails?
Vaguely. A charming little instrument of punishment, I believe.
It's also been known to serve as a loosener of reluctant tongues.
Has it indeed?
Jailer!
Yes, sir?
Summon a guard. Take this man to the flogging post and see he's given 10 lashes. No more, no less.
Next day, there was more questioning. Then, 20 lashes. The next day, 30. The next, 40. The following morning, the same routine began again. The cell door opened, and the man in the mask came in.
You don't look quite your usual self this morning, Blakeney.
You are a swine, aren't you?
I'm a man with a single purpose, Blakeney. And I'm not to be diverted from that purpose, as you'll realize sooner or later. Now, the League of the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Never heard of it.
Its leader.
Don't know.
Its members.
Don't know.
Its agents.
Forgive me if I seem to complain, but this does become boring, you know.
You can't keep it up, Blakeney. Sooner or later, you'll talk.
I think so.
There's a limit to human endurance.
True. There's death.
Oh, you shan't die, I assure you. I'll see to that. That'd be much too easy for you.
Let's get on with it, shall we? Call the jailer.
Now, look here, Blakeney. You're a brave man. You've proved that. But don't confuse bravery with stubborn stupidity. If this method fails, there'll be others, much more subtle. Believe me, I have an infinitely inventive mind and much patience. This could go on and on and on. Well, well, what is it?
Captain Maurice and a detachment of troops have just arrived from Paris.
What of it?
The Captain brings this letter.
Committee of Public Safety commends your zeal in taking prisoner an Englishman believed to be a member of the League of the Scarlet Pimpernel. This man is required for questioning before the committee in Paris. And you are hereby ordered to hand him forthwith into the custody of the bearer, Captain Jacques Maurice. They can't do this, they can't!
The letter is signed by Citizen Chauvelin himself.
They took me to our beach cottage outside Portsmouth. There the wounds soon healed, but the scars remained. Not only on my back, but in my mind as well. I'm not a man given to violent feelings, but I hated the man in the mask as I had hated no one before. And I swore that, come what may, I would find him one day and exact vengeance for every stroke that had flayed my back. Tony was with me in Portsmouth, and when I was fit, we moved back to London. For a week or so, we indulged in a pleasant round of dinners, balls, and the opera. Then one evening, as we were leaving after a performance at Drury Lane...
Tony.
What is it?
That fellow ahead of us.
Which one?
The big man, just getting into his carriage. See you, I mean?
Yes. Now, what about
him? Who is he?
Lord Belgria. I should have thought you'd know him.
I'm not at all sure I don't. But perhaps not quite in the way you mean. You're certain that's where it is?
Positive. What on earth's the matter, Blakeney?
Let's find a coffee shop somewhere. Better still come home to my chambers for a while. I want to talk. Sherry or port?
Sherry, please.
Now tell me. Tell me about this Lord Bailbury. Who is he? What are his friends? What are his politics?
Damn it, Percy. I've already told you. I've only the vaguest acquaintance with the fellow. What's this all about, anyway? And what do you mean when you say
You think you might know him?
I believe it's possible he's the man in the mask.
Bread, oh, no.
I say it's possible.
But you didn't so much as see the fellow's face.
How can you even...
Every detail of that man is indelibly impressed on my mind. Failbrae is the same build, and I should judge the same age.
And so, I dare say, there are 1,000 other men in England.
He carries himself the same way. He has the same easy, fluid movements of his hands. He gives the same impression of latent power.
Percy, don't take what I'm going to say amiss, but, sir, are you sure you're not allowing this man in the mask to become rather an obsession with you?
Of course not.
Could easily happen, you know. You could reach a point at which you'd start suspecting everyone who bore even the vaguest resemblance.
This is no obsession, Tony. I don't say Bailey is the man, but he could be. And I'm determined to find out.
How?
By meeting him, of course.
If he is the man, you can wager he'll be on guard. So how will you tell even then?
For one thing, there's his voice. I'd recognize that in a million.
Maybe.
And for another, he had a small birthmark on the inside of his left wrist. Normally it's hidden, but on one occasion his cuff slid back, and I saw it. I took particular note of it. Now, can you arrange for us to meet, Tony?
All right, I'll see what I can do.
Bailberry Grange we found to be a big, rambling old house surrounded by formal gardens, and beyond them several hundred acres of farming land. And Bailberry soon proved himself to be not only a conscientious squire, but an equally conscientious host. We spent 2 most pleasant days there. And on the third, as Tony and I were walking alone in the garden...
Well, Percy, now you've got to know our host. May I take it you're ready to admit you were wrong about him?
Not quite.
Oh, surely it's inconceivable that he and this man in the mask could be one and the same person.
There are some people who lead completely double lives, who have 2 quite separate and distinct sides to their personalities. And often the one side is evil as the other is good.
Oh, I grant you that, but somehow I just don't see him as a dual personality. It seems to me his nature's as open as a book.
Well, I am bound to concede he gives that impression.
And all the same, you're not convinced.
Not completely. Perhaps you're right, Tony. Perhaps it is becoming an obsession with me.
Yes.
But I feel I've got to know, and there's only one way to be absolutely certain.
The birthmark on the wrist?
Yes.
May be possible sometime this evening to lead the conversation tactfully around to birthmarks. If that doesn't work,
I shall bluntly demand that he rolls back his cuff and lets me see his wrist.
And if you're wrong, if there's nothing there...
Well, I shall explain and apologize. That evening, as we sat after dinner over our port...
Blakeney and I had a rather heated argument this afternoon, Bailberry.
Really? What about?
Rather unusual subject. Birthmarks.
Yeah, that is unusual.
We thought you might care to adjudicate.
Afraid I know next to nothing about them.
Blakeney's got one on his right shoulder. Huh? He maintains it's an indication of long life.
I most certainly do.
But I say that's all a lot of superstitious nonsense.
Oh, damn it, Harry. How can you say that?
Well, of course it is. That mark was an accident of birth. Nothing more or less. How could it possibly have any influence on your future?
Don't ask me how. It's just one of those things that you either accept or you don't.
How about you, Bailberry? Tell the great oracle where your birthmark is and learn what your future is to be.
Matter of fact, I haven't one. A birthmark, I mean.
That's strange.
Not everyone has, you know.
No, I mean, I thought I'd seen one on you.
Oh, now you've come to mention it, so do I.
Not a sign of one, I assure you.
Well, that's odd. When your left cuff was drawn back the other day, I could have sworn I saw a pink, strawberry-shaped mark on the inside of your wrist.
Left wrist, you say? What an extraordinary coincidence.
In what way?
I've no mark there, but my brother...
Well, that's all right, Rupert. Let your brother speak for himself.
Bless my soul. James, what on earth are you doing here?
I've just arrived. The servant said you'd company, so I thought I'd announce myself.
Gentlemen, I'd like you to meet my brother, the Honorable James Bailberry, Lord Dewhurst of Percy Blakeney.
How do you do?
Percy.
As you already have noticed, James and I are very alike. In fact, we're almost identical twins.
Almost, brother, but not quite. Rupert was born an hour before I was. That fortunate accident makes him the proprietor of this establishment and the lord. makes me an impecunious relative.
Please, James, don't let us put these family matters before our guests.
Oh, Rupert doesn't like to talk of such things. He feels they've made me bitter. Well, so they have. And why shouldn't they? Is it fair he should have everything and I nothing?
I've offered 100 times.
I don't want your charity, to the devil with it. I want what's mine, that's all.
James, if you've come home to start another quarrel, I wish you hadn't, you stayed in Scotland.
Scotland? What makes you think I've been in Scotland?
When you left here, you said you were going back to Aberdeen.
Oh, shall I tell you something, brother? I've never been in Scotland in my life.
What?
Nor have I been in Cornwall or Wales or any of the places in which you imagine I spend the greater part of my worthless life.
I don't understand.
Blakeney does, don't you, Blakeney? You know where I've been. And why?
Yes, I think so.
As I came in, you were talking about a birthmark on the left wrist. Is this the one you mean? Look at it closely, Blakeney. Is this the one?
Yes. I knew I'd find you sooner or later.
Since mutual recognition seems to be the thing, perhaps you remember me too. Captain Maurice at your service.
Yes, I remember you. Oh, a neat trick.
Will someone please explain to me what this is all about?
I regret if this seems an abuse of your hospitality, Lord Belbury. But I'm obliged to demand instant satisfaction from your brother.
Oh, shut up, Rupert. And stop gaping like a fish. The sunken garden, Blakeney, adorned.
And the weapons?
Pistol.
Your servant, sir.
And yours. Last time we met, Blakeney, you'd have welcomed death. I shall see this time you get your wish.
Understand, gentlemen, as I count, you'll take 10 paces. And on the 10th pace, you'll turn, and in your own time, fire. That's clear?
Yes.
Yes. I've only this to say, James. The referee should be impartial. But now I know the truth of this. It's my heartfelt hope that you die.
Say, if they can't, let's get on with it.
Ready, gentlemen? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh, you've hit me, Sir Percy. But unfortunately for you, a little high. The shoulder's rarely fatal, you know.
Shall we proceed?
By all means. You've had your shot. Now I'll have mine. I'm a more deadly pistol shot than I am an inquisitor, my friend. I give you 3 seconds to live. 1, 2, 3.
Rupert! You killed...
This is intolerable, Lord Belbury. Our quarrel was a private one. You'd no right whatever to interfere.
I had every right to protect the good name of a family.
But to shoot him in cold blood, your own brother...
He is no longer my brother. He's only a traitor to his country, to this fair England which I love. And for traitors, there's only one end. Shall we go inside, gentlemen?